Actually, I'm going to speak about a different topic, if that's okay. I was going to speak about a topic that's actually in Yana D'Yoma, if you can call it that, the relevance of the halachas of Avodah Zarah nowadays. How it would seem to us that halachas of Avodah Zarah doesn't really exist anymore, so it shouldn't really affect us in day-to-day life. But as we'll see, there are many halachas which are applicable to us. and we'll try to explain and see, you know, as how they are relevant to us. I don't know if everybody remembers, but a couple of years ago, there was this big tumult when it was discovered that the heer that was being used to make shaitel came from India. And it was a temple to some of Avodah Zarah where the practice was, they went up there, and part of the service was that they shaved their head. And the idea, as far as they were concerned, was to get rid of the hair, but the priests made a multi-million-dollar business out of collecting the hair and selling it as a shekel. And it became a very big question whether all that hair was, being that it was used to serve the Avodah Zarah, was it Asur Bahana. So that was one time when it became really out in the open, this question, halachas of Avodah Zarah. Everybody had to dust off their Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Beis, Yerdei Chelek Beis, that discusses halachas of Avodah Zarah, and everybody had to get back into the sugya. We didn't think it was relevant to us anymore, but it became very relevant. But on that side, we're going to talk about. Actually, we're going to discuss a couple of things. One of them actually has a relevance to this week's parasha. I saw brought down from Rav Aaron Leib Shaiman, Shlita, he said that it says in the Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu came to visit Paroi, so Paroi asked him, how old are you? So why did Paroi ask him how old you are? Because it says that when Avram Avinu came to see Paroi, Avram Avinu came, the doorway in front of the chamber that you had to walk into to greet Paroi was very low in order to force the person who walks in to bow down, and there was a statue of an Avodah Zarah over there, and it would force the person to bow down to the Avodah Zarah. And when Avram Avinu walked in, there was a nace that the doorway got taller, so he didn't have to bow down. When Yaakov Avinu walked in, the same nace happened. So Paroi thought that this was Avram Avinu. So that's why he asked him, how old are you? This halacha, actually, not to even appear as if you're bowing down to an Avodah Zarah, is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Nun. And actually, it's rather relevant. The halacha is that even yashav like kaitz baragla, let's say you got a thorn in your foot in front of an Avodah Zarah, or your money fell down on the floor in front of an Avodah Zarah, it's usur to bow down and take the thorn out of your foot, or to pick up the money. It says, what should you do? You should either sit down on the floor to pick it up, or you should turn the other way so that you're not bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, but rather your back is facing the Avodah Zarah. Likewise, it says that if there is a water fountain that's in the form of an Avodah Zarah, which was very typical in those days at least, that has some sort of form, you're not allowed to drink from that water fountain because it looks like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah. So the Rama says, it's not Yerek Val Yaver. Even though most halachas of Avodah Zarah is Yarek Valyaver, you're not allowed to do it even if it's on the pain of death. So it says if you're dying from thirst, you can do this. Is not Yarek Valyaver. It's interesting, I just saw a story with the Chafetz Chaim that it says he was traveling in a carriage, and they had along the road, there were a number of places where there was a huge cross in the side, on the side of the road. And the Chafetz Chaim had fallen asleep, and his head was going up and down. And the person who was traveling with him felt that it would be somewhat of a chilul Hashem if, as they're passing the cross, the Chavetz Chaim would be going like this. It would look like the Chavetz Chaim is bowing down to an Avodah Zarah. So he prepared a blanket that he would put, you know, in front of the Chavetz Chaim, so it wouldn't look like he's bowing down to the cross. He says he never had to use the blanket because every time they passed the cross, the Chavetz Chaim woke up and then he would fall back asleep. But each time they passed by, he would catch himself, and that would stop himself from bowing down. So he didn't have to actually use it. But even now, you see from this halacha that even inadvertently bowing down to a cross, even if you're trying to do something else, is also an isur of Avodah Zarah. It's marasayim. This comes relevant in museums very often when there's, like, let's say a totem pole, which is an actual Avodah Zarah. If you bow down to read the script, you know, on the engraving, you know, when it's just the thing in the museum that tells you what it's about or where it's from, that would be this aver. This is Eser and Shulchan Aruch. You can't look like you're bowing down to Avodah Zarah, even though it's clear you're doing something else, right? This guy is bowing down to pick up his money. It's clear he's not trying to bow down to Avodah Zarah. It's still Aser to do. There's also a halacha that when you're not allowed to walk within Dalet Amis to the path to an Avodah Zarah, which would be relevant nowadays, you know, to the path to a church. We'll get to that in a minute. So it used to be in Europe, the minhag was always you cross the street whenever you passed by a church. No, you wouldn't even continue walking on that side of the street. It's interesting that my aunt was telling me that in 1944, they were in Hungary and they were trying to escape the Nazis. So they went to a town in Hungary called Balaton. It was a resort city. And they passed themselves off as Gaim. They dressed up as Gaim. And one time when they were walking on down the street, there was a church, and they crossed the street without even thinking, because that was what they were so used to doing. And my grandmother got very angry at them. You know, it's not Yarek Val Yarek, it was just a minhag. But they were giving themselves away. But that was a given minhag. It was just something that everybody did. You crossed the street when you saw a church. The truth is, that's something that we have to discuss for itself. Is Christianity, is that a true form of Avodah Zarah? There seems to be some misconception about that. The Gemara, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara is not so relevant to us. But the Gemara is discussing about when you find a goblet that has a picture of an Avodah Zarah on it. Do you have to assume that the picture was put there for the purpose of serving this Avodah Zarah? That means someone actually bowed down to this goblet, and then it will be Asr Bahanan, you can't use it. Or was it just put there lanai? It was just put there to beautify as a design, and then you can sell it. You can't keep it in your house, but you can sell it. You can have a benefit from it. So on that Gemara, the Ritva says, he says, "Me'ata." From here we see Tsuray Shasi Ve'erev. That's a cross, a picture of a cross. Shiragilim Goyim Latzair BeKelim Shel Kesef. That the Goyim make this figure of a cross in Kelim of silver is Mutarim. The Afalgav the Tsuray Shasi Ve'erev Nevedesi. Even though a picture of a cross is actually an Avodah Zarah, they bow down to it. Nevedesi Lahem Hayadinan Vaday LePachla BeKelim. But we know that they don't bow down to the crosses that are engraved in the Kalim. They only actually bowed down to a cross which was the galach was metameit, which I guess means the cross in the church itself. And that's why you're allowed to have coins that have a cross on them. Many coins have a cross on them. I mean, not American coins, but many European coins have a cross on them. Likewise, the red cross, right? That's a cross. That means that cross. It's not just a symbol. It refers to the cross. But it's not done for Avodah Zarah, so therefore it's mutter. The Havla Kedavar Bari She'in Avodim, we know for sure it's not Nevad Shehi Mutl Dereka. But in any case, that much is clear to the Ritva that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Christianity is certainly an Avodah Zarah. Not only that, a cross, at least the one that they do bow down to, that they kiss or they do something with it, is also considered an actual Avodah Zarah, a real life idol. And it's Asur Bahanan, you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. this halacha, this other Rishonim say this also, and this is a halacha actually in Shulchan Aruch. It's interesting because it was taken out by the censor, you know, in Europe when they all Svarim had to go through a Christian censor who would take out anything that would look like, you know, a negative reference to Christianity. So over here it says as follows. The Ramah says in Simin Kuf Mem Aleph, Shasi ve'erev shemishtachvim loy, Shasi ve'erev, a cross that they bow down to, dinoy kedin tzelem. It's like a tzelem, it's like an avodah zarah, v'asur b'lebitlan, it's also unless a guy is mevatlet. Avol shasi ve'erev shetoylem b'tzavar, but the cross that they wear around their necks, l'zikaroin, just to remember, loy mikri tzelem, that's not called a tzelem, and it's mutter. So the Ramah says that a necklace is mutter. The Shach over here says that just means that if you know for sure they never bow down to it, then it's mutter. But otherwise, you have to assume that they keep it as a they keep it around their necks. They probably pray to it sometimes, and you do have to assume it's aser. It's an interesting thing that many jewelers, even Jewish jewelers, sell crosses. It's a big part of the business, is they sell crosses. Now, over here, it's discussing a cross that actually belongs to a guy, and we assume that he bowed down to it, so it's aser b'hanah. But is it mutter for you to make crosses and sell them? So the problem would be that it's aser to make an avodah zarah. But you're not making the avodah zarah for the purpose. You're doing it just for beauty, for ornament, for jewelry. So then technically it should be mutter for you to do. There's a funny Yiddish story. They used to say that there was someone who came after the war, and he was looking to find some business to do, and he was trying this business, he was trying that business, and nothing was working. So someone suggested that he should go into the business of creating and selling crosses as jewelry. Not a business that Jews have tapped into yet, so maybe you'll have some hatzlacha. So he goes into the business, and he's looking around, trying to find a wholesaler. He goes through the yellow pages, he finds a wholesaler, calls him up, and he says, I want to order 1,000 crosses. So the person on the phone says, Mita yoizel or una yoizel? With a figure on it or not. So, and Rabbi Teitelman just told me, actually, that his father was once in Rome, and he was outside the Vatican, and there was a guy with a pushcart selling all sorts of souvenirs. And there were souvenirs of crosses of the Vatican itself, and the Pope, and etc. And he starts looking at them, and the guy behind the pushcart says, Nishvadir. So apparently this has become a Jewish business. Yeah, what's your question? Selling crosses, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. So the concept would be that being that these aren't intended at all for the purpose of serving them, it's just intended for beauty, so it's not an avodah zarah at all.
But when you bend down to it's up your coin, you don't have any intention at all to bow down to
the... Right, but you are in front of an avodah zarah. So in other words, there is an actual avodah zarah here, so even though you're doing something for a different purpose, but you're actually bowing down to it, so that is aser regardless. But here, this thing is not an avodah zarah. That would be the reason why we mutter. Many svarim hold that it's still aser. Yeah?
What about Islam? Could you technically walk into a mosque?
Islam, you would technically be able to, right? Because Islam is not an avodah zarah. But this is considered avodah zarah. So it's interesting because there is, just 1 second, there is a Ramah in Aruch Chaim that's a little misleading. The Ramah says, there's a halacha, you're not supposed to go into business with a guy because you might have a disagreement with him, and you're gonna go to court, and he's gonna have to swear, and he's gonna swear in the name of avodah zarah, and you're causing him to do an aveira by swearing in the name of avodah zarah. So if you're not supposed to go into a partnership with a guy, so Rama says that nowadays it's not a problem because they don't do regular avodah zarah, they do shutfis. In other words, Christianity is really a shutfis. They have, you know, yashka together with. Whatever, so that's a form of a shutfis, so therefore, that's okay. So people understand this to mean that a guy is allowed to serve Yashka because it's together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's a shutfis. But that's not what the Ramah means. The Noi Bihud explains this, that it's certain that a shutfis is just as much of a desire as it is for a yid, it's a desire for a guy too. A guy serving Christianity is being Ayyid of a desire, and it's asr for him. What the Ramah just means is there's no isr for him to swear b'shutfis. That's an issa that's only applicable to a yid. To swear about a shutfis, that's a yid has a issa of leis shava b'shmai, and a guy doesn't have that issa. So there's no problem making him swear. But the actual fact that he serves Christianity is actual avodah zarah. It's considered real avodah zarah, real bona fide avodah zarah, and causing him to be avodah zarah would be lefnei iver. So technically, selling crosses, if you were to sell a form of a cross which he is going to be avodah, you are, and besides that, you're over the isser of loisa, you're not allowed to make a cross. Likewise, is an isser of lifnei iver. You're causing him to be the aveira of lifnei iver. I want to discuss something else over here. I want to discuss, there's another isser. There's an isser of shem Elohim Acherim Leisaskiru. There's an isser to mention the name of an avodah zarah. Any avodah zarah, you're not allowed to mention the name of avodah zarah. The only exception is, there's only two exceptions. One exception is any avodah zarah which is mentioned in the Torah, you're allowed to say, like Baal Pa'ar, any avodah zarah which the Torah mentions the name, you're allowed to say. And also another exception is, you're allowed to say the name of avodah zarah if that avodah zarah has totally, totally become batel. No one has served that avodah zarah. And that's the reason why we could say the names of all the planets. All the planets are names of Avodah Zarah. Mars, Venus, you know, they're all named after Neptune. They're all named after different Avodah Zarahs, Greek mythology Avodah Zarah. So those are all batel. No one serves them anymore. That's why you're allowed to say the names of those Avodah Zarah. But the question is, are you allowed to mention the name of Christianity, any of the names referring to their deity? Is that, are you over the Isser of Shem El Hemecherim Leisazkiru? Likewise, we say Xmas, or we say Yashka Pandarak, or Yaisel, or different, whatever other terminology you're familiar with that you use to refer to their Avodah Zarah. The reason is because we don't, there is definitely an Hanhaga, Minig, not to say it. Question is there a real Isser? There's a tshuva from Chavis Yar, early Sefer, where he is writing, he's answering questions on his Sefer. And the person who wrote the question was very upset at him, because he was talking about a halacha of a certain coin. And this coin was apparently called, I think, the Magdalene or something like that. It was named after one of either Yaisel himself or his mother, one of those things. That was the name of the coin. And he referred to it by name. And the person was very upset at him. He says, it's such a maratzis. You're saying the name of the coin, and everybody's makbid not to say the name of the coin because Shem Elohim Acherim Lesaskir. You're not allowed to say the name of Avodah Zarah. So he gets very upset at the person for being accusing him of this, and he gives a few reasons why this issur wouldn't apply. And one of the reasons he gives is that the issur of Shem Elohim Acherim Lesaskir is mentioned in the Gemara in the following tzir, that if you need directions to somewhere, so you can't say, go, you know, down this block, at the corner there's an Avodah Zarah, make a right by the Avodah Zarah. That's the Isser of Shem Elohim Acherim Leisazkiru. You can't give a person directions using Avodah Zarah as a reference point. Where I used to live in Los Angeles, the corner of my block was a huge restaurant, which a huge statue, and it was called B-U-D-D-H-A's Belly. I'm still not sure if you're allowed to say that either. I'm not sure if that's a real Avodah Zarah or not, but regardless, that was the name. And it would have been a very convenient way because it was a very clear reference point to someone to find my house. But it was the same issue. That would be this. If I would say, go to that restaurant, you know, and you'll see this big guy with his stomach sticking out, that would be an issue of Shem Elohim Acherim Leisazkiru. So he says that is only in that situation where you could have given another reference point. You didn't have to give the reference point to the Avodah Zarah. By using the Avodah Zarah as a reference point, you're giving a covet to the Avodah Zarah. That's the Isser Shem Elohim Acherim Leisazkiru. If you were to just say the name because there's no other choice, like the name of the coin, there is no other name for it, there's no other way to refer to it without referring it to it by its name, you aren't over the Isser. That's what the one Svar of the Chavis Yar says. Yeah.
Can you say there's a big, go down the street, there's a big marble thing, turn left, and then you'll...
I mean, without actually referring to the thing by name.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you say it b'loshon g'nai, in other words, if you say it in a way that makes fun of it, then you're allowed to do that. Yeah?
Next question. Two questions. One, you said about the coin that there's no other way to refer to it, mm-hmm. But I thought in his letter, I thought you said that in his letter, the complainer said that in our town we refer to it as
a mess. Right. I mean, they make up a name for it. Right. Okay. So that would be the taina that he had.
Also, using the name in that restaurant, using the name of that dog, isn't that already making fun of it, the way they used the name for it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if that was their intent. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the reasoning behind the decree not to actually say the name of the
Bozar? What's the Isser? Isser Tyra. Well, there's a good question. There could be one of two reasons. It might be a machlekes rishonim. One reason is that you're giving kavod to Avodah Zarah by mentioning its name. And another reason is because you're using the Avodah Zarah. That's like in this example, when you're using it as a direction, you're actually making use of an Avodah Zarah, which is something you're not allowed to do.
What if the purpose of saying the name is discussing Lashon Hara? It is discussing the Avodah Zarah.
Right. But referring to it by name, by definition, is giving it to kavod. What Chazal wanted you to do is to be mechan Hashem gnai, to make up a name which embarrasses the Vayz. I'll give an example of that in a second.
So like, if someone appoints himself an Avodah Zarah, then other people cannot refer to that.
Oh, so that's the second story. That's what I'm going to get there in a second. Yeah.
Building itself.
I'm sorry? A church itself, you mean?
Yeah,
no, not necessarily. Not necessarily. The church, you mean? Yeah. Instead of saying the cross.
Correct.
Right. Possibly. Possibly. That wouldn't be considered referring to the Avodah Zarah itself. Yeah.
If you're selling necklaces with crosses on them and such, people kiss them and pray to them all the time. Why wouldn't they be considered Avodah Zarah?
So that is the Svar. A lot of Svarim say that they say that's why they, the Svarim will say that it's usher to do to sell those necklaces because they say it's inevitable, especially if you're producing them in the thousands, there are going to be people that are going to be using it to pray to it and to kiss it and etc. So that's why they say it's usher. The other Svarim say that that is not your intent, so that's not what you're trying to do. When you're producing them, you're just producing it as jewelry, so therefore the fact that they're going to decide to use it that way is not your problem.
But you're producing it clearly in the image of that. Like, you could.
But you're not doing it for that purpose. You're just doing it as jewelry. So as long as you're not doing it for that purpose, so you're not giving them the ability to do it, they could have done it regardless, with or without your necklace, right? And also, you're not producing it for the purpose of the person davening to it.
You're clearly
right?
doing it in that image. I mean, you could choose any other image. It's you're clearly
no, that's true,
that
because that's what they use
for,
because they use it to beautify themselves. Right? That would be the reason why we mother. It's only us to make something for the purpose of being served. What are you saying?
So all my cars, like a Jaguar, you know, there's a, like the icon thing.
Right.
Would that be considered as
a... Is that an Avodah Zarah? I don't think. I mean, unless you know something I don't. I don't think that was meant to be an Avodah Zarah. That's just an image. Right. An image of... So I'm going to just continue. We'll take some more questions later. So where were we holding over here? Oh, yes, the second svara. So you mentioned before. The second svara the Chavos Yoreh says is that when a deity had a name before it became a god, before it was appointed as a god, so the name that existed from before wouldn't be considered a shame of Avodah Zarah. So he says in this case, right, where the name Yeshu, or whatever exactly his name is, was a name he had previous to the fact that he became an Avodah Zarah. So that name, by the fact that he now has become a deity, doesn't render him an Avodah Zarah, which is possible also, it could apply also to B-U-D-D-H-A. I still haven't gotten just the actual facts on this, but it's possible that name was also a name of the person before he was appointed as a deity. It also is possible he's not a deity, it could be he's a prophet. I didn't take the time to research that religion. But in any case, so that is the second svara that he says for a heter. Now, that would refer to his first name. The second part of his name, right, which is the name of the religion of Christianity, that really means, it really means Mashiach. That's what it means. Literally translated, it means the anointed one. So by saying that, you're sort of giving kavod, but again, it's not really a name of the deity. It's the actual name is his name, which is the name he had from before, which would be a svara why it would be mutter to say. And then the other name is also just it's an appellation. It's not an actual name. It's just a way of referring to him. It's like saying, you know, the deity. Now, he says, therefore, it's mutter. However, he himself says that the overwhelming minig among the people is not to actually refer to him by name, just to refer to him by some sort of a gnai. For example, what you know, the Yashka, which is also a gnai, because Yeshu really stands for Yemach Shemai V'Zichrei. That's what Yeshu stands. It wasn't actually his name. Yeshu, the Hebrew way of saying Yashka, or Yashka in Yiddish, Pandirak, comes from the Gemara. The Gemara calls him Ben Pandira. Pandira, I was looking today, it's apparently the name of his father, and actually no one knew who his father was because his mother was Mizana. That's why she had a holy conception. So Pandira means was apparently an Arabic term that denoted someone who was a mamzer. So that was that's why the Pandarak or Ben Pandir, the Gemara also refers to him in a Lashon Gnai. So again, the overwhelming meaning is to not say out, you know, to say Xmas and to say Pandarak, etc., use some other format to refer to him because it is an Avodah Zarah, and we don't rely on the heterim of the Chavos Yoreh. Now, in a case where it's necessary, like if you're speaking to a non-Jew and you have to refer to it and you can't refer to it in a way that's a bezayin because it'll make a chilul Hashem, in that situation, you do have what to rely on, and you could refer to it by his proper name. It's interesting as far as, you know, crossing the street, just so leave off with this thing, when the Sfarim discuss about selling images and so on and so forth, the Sefer Tshuvas Divrei Yatziv, that's from the Klosenberger Rebbe, and he's discussing selling jewelry, he says that he has a Kabbalah from the Rebbe from Zlotchev, that someone who looks at a cross, someone who's mistakel b'tzelem, they're not makabel his tefillahs for 40 days. So very common again. He says, and that was clearly the mini-goal in Europe. People were very marching themselves from it. The only reason why they ever did it was because there was simply no other business available. But he says, nowadays, we're in the States, in the United States, there's so many other options of business, people should be keep away from it. So in summary, what we discussed is that there is an isser to, that first of all, we clarify that Christianity is indeed an Avodah Zarah. And being that it is an Avodah Zarah, all the halachas of Avodah Zarah apply, which is you can't use it as a reference point, you can't appear to be bowing down to it. You have to be marchik from the doorway or the entrance to a church. And it's because possibly there is an isser, and there's certainly a minig not to refer to it by name in order not to be over the isser of Shem Elohim Mechem Lesizkir. Okay, we'll take some questions.
So I think before you said that if someone's wearing a necklace, it's not Avodah Zarah, but if let's say, like, a priest or someone wears a necklace and they...
That most likely is. Right. That probably would be. Yeah, go ahead.
If each church has their own cross, in each church is an Avodah Zarah?
That's correct.
So then how, then, like, Jews in the, some Jews in the Holocaust, like, the disguise themselves as non-Jews and they went to church, how would they look?
That's a very good question. We can't pass judgment on people in that situation. But there are certain things they'd be allowed to do. I don't know exactly what they did. But if they actually had to bow down to a cross or prepare to be praying to a cross, that was actually something you're supposed to be Meister Nefesh for. So your question would be correct. Good. Right, it's not an Avodah Zarah. It's monotheistic.
What would you classify it if it's
needed? Call it what you want. I mean, that, halachically, it doesn't have classification.
Can you call B-U-D-D-H-A? Can you call it in the English translation?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing you're allowed to do when you say the name of Avodah Zarah is you have to be mechan Hashem l'gnai. You have to speak about it in an embarrassing way. So you can use your imagination, but you would have to find a way to refer to it in a way that's not bakavadik for Avodah Zarah. I don't think it makes a difference. I don't know, the point is the name itself has to be changed. The name itself has to be changed. Also, I just want to point out, people aren't aware that the term to cross your fingers, and certainly to actually cross your fingers means to cross, make a cross out of your fingers. It would be real of a desire to cross your fingers. Even to use the terminology is not proper for a yid. But to actually do it is real of a desire. You're giving, you know, you're using a cross for good luck. Christianity, I'm referring to the religion, you're right, technically you could say it, but as again, the same thing, as being that there's a minig like that, I haven't found another terminology, it's nitrous, I guess, another way to refer to it, people should know what I'm talking about, but yeah, technically you're correct, yeah. I'm sorry? Certainly. It says that Avraham Avinu had 400 prakim in his Masechta Avodah Zarah. That was the only sugya, that was Negea those days, so, go ahead. That's right.
So, if you made, for whatever reason, you just happen to like the color red, you also like frogs, they're your favorite animal. So, you want to make a little carving and paint it red and have it look like a frog and like sell them. Sooner or later, you know that they're going to end up as a Avodah Zarah because it's widely known that people want your red frogs, so you're allowed to make and then sell it.
So it would depend on the same question. In other words, you're making it for some other purpose, but it's possible that it'll come,
it's inevitable.
So that would be the exact same question as making crosses. The same machlokes would apply to that also. Get it out of your system. It's something you shouldn't do. No, really. It's a very non-Jewish thing to do. Yeah, go ahead.
Why would a cross be considered an Avodah Zarah? Because that's not even what they're really worshipping.
That's a very good question.
And even then, it depends on the sect of Christianity, but many of them don't even consider Avodah Zarah.
Right. So the answer to that is actually asked by an early sefer, which was Batei Kuhuna, And he says the answer is because really every Avodah Zarah wasn't an actual, the idol itself wasn't actually anything. The idol just represented something, right? All idols, they didn't actually think that the idol, piece of metal itself, had any strength. The metal represented a spirit, it represented a ruach, it represented a god, and they were just serving this graven image just as a method of serving the actual spirit god, etc. So he says that's why the cross is no different. The cross also represents that Avodah Zarah, represents him in one way or another, and being that it represents it, and they bow down to it as in a way of bowing down to their deity, therefore it's an Avodah Zarah.
That person, like if that person, let's say, was just like Jewish, the person they're bowed down to, and the person who's being bowed down to is not intending anything,
right?
But like that person's having like if they drop something, is that considered Avodah Zarah? If someone drops something, happened to bow down to you or something?
It would have to be a well-known Avodah Zarah for this problem to become a problem. You know, then you have this Marasayan problem.
So if like at like there are pictures and stuff like that.
Likewise, the Sfarim speak about that, these tapestries, you know, that they, it depends, you know, very often, the Goyim, he says, the person, the Sefer that writes about it says, he sees them walking by one of these paintings and they take off their hat, so they see, they even show, you know, deference and show covet to that, then already it would become an Avodah Zarah. So. Okay, last question, go ahead.
India, where they worship,
they
think cows are holy. Would one be able to acquire cows from Indian farm first?
So that's a good question. The halacha is a balchai, a living animal, can't become an avodah zarah. So you would be allowed to. Okay. Very good.
What about